Thanks for joining us on episode 341 of the Inspired Stewardship Podcast.
I'm Bob Lodick from Seed Time, and I challenge you to invest in yourself, invest in others, develop your influence, and impact the world by using your time, your talent, and your treasures to live out your calling. Having the ability to grow your money like a seed is key to learning God's way of handling money. And one way to be inspired to do that is to listen to this, the Inspired Stewardship Podcast with my friend, Scott Mader. But one of the interesting things that I feel like many times when I find myself in a situation like that where I'm struggling with my own needs, it seems like the way out that God leads me out of a lot of times is by giving. And, you know, and it's this counterintuitive thing, you know, but so much of the kingdom of God is, it's just counterintuitive. It works the opposite of the world's way.
Welcome and thank you for joining us on the Inspired Stewardship Podcast. If you truly desire to become the person who God wants you to be, then you must learn to use your time, your talent, and your treasures for your true calling. In the Inspired Stewardship Podcast, you will learn to invest in yourself, invest in others, and develop your influence so that you can impact the world.
In today's interview with Bob Lotich about investing in others, Bob and I talk with you about ministry being more than a call to being a pastor. Bob also shares with you how his Sabbath journey allowed him to invest in his family. And Bob also talks with you about how his ministry around money helps rob hell as people invest in others and lots more.
One reason I like to bring you great interviews like the one you're going to hear today is because of the power in learning from others. Another great way to learn from others is through reading books. But if you're like most people today, you find it hard to find the time to sit down and read. And that's why today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Go to inspiredstewardship.com/audible to sign up, and you can get a 30-day free trial. There's over 180,000 titles to choose from, and instead of reading, you can listen your way to learn from some of the greatest minds out there. That's inspiredstewardship.com/audible to get your free trial and listen to great books the same way you're listening to this podcast. Bob Lodick is a Christian, a husband, a father, and owner of the blog Seed Time. And now he's a podcaster on the Seed Time Living Podcast. Bob has a mission to create a community where believers can learn practical resources on earning more, saving more, and through learning God's ways of handling money, give more so that they can show God's love. Bob has had his own struggles with money and debt and has spent over 20 years learning about money and how God wants us to manage God's money that God blesses us with. Bob, welcome to the show.
Hey, Scott. Thanks for having me, man.
Awesome. It's great. I'm sure you're going to have a lot of great information for our listeners, and I'm really looking forward to this. If you think that to do the work of expanding God's kingdom, you have to be involved directly in ministry, then this may be a message that you need to hear. Bob, how have you come to understand how the work you do is a call to ministry and a call to serving others without being in the, you know, air quotes, ministry?
This is something that it actually took me a little, because I think every church handles this a little bit differently. And I think there are, I've been in a handful of churches, not many, but, you know, a handful of churches, I think probably three or four different churches now. Since I've been a Christian the last probably 25 years. And there are some churches that seem to, I think without intending to do so, make it feel as if the highest level of ministry is preaching, you know, preaching on a pulpit or, you know, something like that. And I don't know. I kind of believe that the highest level of ministry is whatever God's called you to do, you know? And if you're doing what he's called you to do, like, he's going to use you. And we might not see, and we probably won't see the way he has this this puzzle, I call all these dots connected. But I think when we get to heaven, we're really going to be, I'm really hoping anyway, that I can get up there and I can see how all the pieces of my obedience connected to bring more glory to God and to lead more people to Him. And even if they're not at all related to me directly preaching to someone or sharing the gospel with someone, I think it's going to be really cool to see how, you know, maybe this thing I did over here that seemed completely irrelevant, but was out of obedience to God, that it ultimately led to more people getting to know Him. So that's kind of like the big picture answer there. For me specifically, you know, we are more or less a Christian ministry, you know, because we talk about personal finance and we talk about it in a way where we are geared towards Christians. So I'm not completely separated from it, but even if we weren't doing that, I would believe that as we're helping people build budgets and pay off debt and save more money, that somehow that was going to tie into what God is doing on this earth, even if I can't see how those dots are connected.
So we talked last week about taking a Sabbath year from your business. Bob, can you talk a little bit about how taking this time and having some family time allowed you to invest in those relationships and how it's affected those family relationships?
So taking that year off last year, it was really amazing because, you know, I didn't know I was going to do it. It was kind of something that I didn't, it was February of 2017 where like God just dropped this on my heart. And it took a little bit, probably a few weeks before I finally got like solid on this, like, all right, I think this is what he's asking me to do. And, you know, so it wasn't until March of 2017 that we basically committed to that, and probably the middle of March when I like officially decided, all right, well, let's get these ducks in a row so I can take the year off. And at that point, we had put our name in the hat for adoption with this adoption agency. And we were kind of moving forward on that. Well, actually, we were kind of stalled at that point because we had done this like 3 or 4 months earlier and we hadn't heard anything, and month after month we're getting a letter from the agency saying, yeah, no one's asking for you. So we're just kind of sitting around waiting, twiddling our thumbs. And normally the way it works, because we've adopted before, our first son was adopted. Normally the way that a lot of agencies work is they try to connect you, and especially this one. This one was really solid in how they did things. And they typically connect you with a birth mother somewhere from the 3 to 6 month range. And so you have about 3 to 6 months before the child's born to kind of prepare and to just get, you know, everything in order. So that's how this agency operates. Well, on May 3rd, we got a phone call, you know, so this is literally like 6 weeks into our, 4 to 6 weeks into our sabbatical. So May 3rd, we get a phone call saying, hey, we have an adoption opportunity for you. And so my wife and I are like jumping up and down, so excited. And as the call progresses, they said, well, so it's kind of an interesting one. It's a unique one because the child was actually born yesterday. And so we're like, wow. And so we talked about it real quick. We prayed about it and we're like, let's go get our baby girl. And so, you know, we had to drive down to Mobile, Alabama and pick up our baby girl and, you know, rush down there as fast as we could and all this. But it was just kind of amazing, you know, because I absolutely know it's not a coincidence that, you know, God laid this out that way, that this really unexpected thing was just kind of thrown in our lap, and that I wasn't working because, honestly, some of the things I had planned, I had some really big time intensive things planned for that May, like with the business, that I have no idea how it would have worked out, you know. And my wife, like, you know, because when you're adopting a situation like this, like we had to go down to Alabama and you have to be ready to stay in that state for up to 2 weeks because interstate adoption, like you can't just come back home. Like you have to stay there until you get approval from the state to leave. And so you're living out of a hotel with a newborn. And we had a 3-year-old at the time. Like, I mean, it's just craziness. You know, as you're trying to get like all this paperwork approved and whatever, and getting, you know, whatever stuff so you can go back home. And not to mention, then you get home and you have a newborn, and we didn't have anything. We didn't even have a car seat because we had like lent out all of our stuff because we were expecting some heads up. So anyway, it was just a whirlwind, but God had made a way for me to be present in it and to actually have the time available to enjoy it a little bit, you know, rather than having, you know, being working with the business. So that was just one part. And then, you know, spending all that time with my 3-year-old and just concentrated time with him at that, you know, just really unique stage of life that he's in, being able to be around a lot more with my wife as we're, you know, raising our newborn or doing the newborn thing, you know, it was just a really, really special year.
Bob, you describe part of the mission of Seed Time to be helping people get control of their finances so that they can give in a way that robs hell. And I love that expression. So can you share a bit about how giving financially can be a way that people can invest in others?
I've just always been fascinated. I mean, this, you know, ties into the earlier question we were talking about, but, you know, as part of a body, we all have a different role to play, you know? And so there are evangelists who that is their life's call. And in my case, like I know part of my calling is to give and to, you know, I feel like my wife and I have the gift of giving. It's part of what we're called to do. And so I see it as, you know, I can be the elbow to help that evangelist win souls. And if I can use some of my money that I have, you know, in our bank account or whatever, to fund what that evangelist is doing so that he can win more souls, because he needs money to operate, you know, even if it's a small amount just to, you know, to have a computer, like it's like they need money to get done their job. And if I can do that, if I can help other people do that, that is how I can use dollars to rob hell. And that's what gets me really excited, because once that dawned on me, and this was probably, I feel like about 10, 15 years ago, I kind of got that revelation. And for me, it was specifically in regards to credit card interest, because I had all these credit cards and I'm paying, I don't know, $200-$300 a month to Chase or Visa, Chase or some of the other banks. And I was just thinking, like, this money I'm just giving to these banks in interest. And it's like, what? I could be using this money to win souls. And that just led to me thinking about all these other areas where I'm spending money in a way, you know, it's like one thing if I'm spending money on something that's actually really blessing me, but if I'm spending money on something I don't even want to spend it on, like, you know, credit card interest, like that just should not be, you know? So that was just kind of when it hit me. And yeah, and that's just been something that I've been trying to help other people do as well.
Even if what you put on the credit card was something that's a blessing, the fact that you had to finance it means that still paying, you know, you're paying for a year for that steak dinner, you know, or you're paying a year for that whatever, you know, whatever it was that you finance. I'm the same sort of, we had the same sort of experience with credit cards where I looked up one day and I went, wait a minute, we're paying all of this money for nothing. You know, why are we doing this? Why are we playing this game? It's also where I philosophically struggle with reward points, because number one, first off, the credit cards have it set up where, you know, they're not losing money on rewards. I mean, people who think that they're putting one over on the credit card companies just don't know how the math works. But the other one is, you know, even if I was perfectly good with my credit cards, paid it off every month, never paid a cent of interest, you know, and got all these great reward points, for me, I have a problem doing that, because the way that they're funding those reward points is either somebody else who isn't as diligent, and so I'm not helping that person, or it's through, you know, the merchant fees, which is not helping the merchant that I'm then processing the credit card with. So, you know, I have a problem with reward points. And don't get me wrong, I mean, people use them, and if you use them, I don't think you're going to hell because you use credit cards and reward points. But at the same time, it's just, for me, I don't think it's the right decision, because kind of God's put that on my heart to not play that game.
Yeah, I mean, that's really interesting. Yeah, because we use a ton of report word points, and that's a big thing for me. And I haven't thought of it from that perspective. So that's definitely something I'll keep in mind. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, and again, I don't think anyone's wrong. I mean, you know, I have good friends and family members and others that use them and use them very responsibly and have never gone into debt with credit cards. And, you know, I don't think it's the only way to live. It's just, again, kind of to your point, God has put that on my wife and I for us to live that way. That doesn't mean everyone else is supposed to, you know, yeah. I'm big enough to know that that doesn't mean I need to go out and beat everyone else up and say, you have to live the way I want you to. I think one fear that many people have around giving is that they're, you know, that they won't be able to give and still provide for themselves. You know, we were kind of talking about the steak dinner and the credit cards a moment ago. So, Bob, can you talk a bit with the listener about how God challenges us to think about money and to think about giving and how this sets up and changes our relationship with God and money?
Yeah, it's sticky. It's tricky. You know, I don't think there's any super easy answer here, but I think ultimately it comes down to living open-handedly and living in a way where, our trust is in God as our provider, like living the Philippians 4:19 life where my God will supply all my need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, you know, and if we can just absorb that and soak that up and meditate on that to the point where we actually believe that God is going to provide all of our needs, I feel like that makes it easier, you know? And that's one of those verses that, I mean, I have had to cling to at, you know, at a handful of points in my life where I was just struggling with having my needs met. But one of the interesting things that I feel like many times when I find myself in a situation like that, where I'm struggling with my own needs, it seems like the way out that God leads me out of a lot of times is by giving. And, you know, and it's this counterintuitive thing, you know, but so much of the kingdom of God is, it's just counterintuitive. It works the opposite of the world's way. And, you know, and so that's another clue too, that, you know, the world is saying hoard, 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 so you can take care of yourself. And when you see that, I think that's a good indication that God's way is probably going to be a little bit different. And, you know, in God's way being, give generously, give with an open hand and trust that he's going to take care of you. And so, you know, and practically it's just not easy. And it does, like, I mean, to your point just a minute ago, like it looks different for every person. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's, we're called to give generously, but we're also not called to give under compulsion. So it's like, I can't tell someone how much money you should be giving and, you know, or condemn someone into giving something. Like it just doesn't work that way. So, it's just one of those things that I feel like we all have to kind of figure out for ourselves. But ultimately I just think the more we can rest in God and trust in him that he's going to take care of us, I feel like it just makes it a little bit easier.
Yeah, the way I describe that paradox of the kingdom that you're talking about is the more I've gotten into scripture, the more I've read it, the deeper I've gotten into it, the more I've come to find what I call both ands, where it's two ideas that seem like they're completely opposite, and yet they're both true.
Yeah,
you know, it's not an either or. It's not this or that. It's both and. Both of these things are true, and it's a very uncomfortable thing. And yet, that often seems to be what God is calling for us to do. You know, provide for yourself, provide for your family, provide for everything, and give generously and abundantly and freely. Wait, how do I do both of these things? You know, and the way you do it is trust in God. Yeah, it's interesting. You can connect with Bob over at seedtime.com. You can follow him on Twitter. He's at seedtime. He's also on Facebook under facebook.com/seedtimeblog. And, of course, you can find him on YouTube also by searching seedtime. Bob, is there anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, I mean, just one last thought. I would just say, The one thing that God just been revealing to me on a deeper and deeper level, and we're all on our journey with this, but just great things happen when you obey God. And if there's anything, any area where you've just kind of been putting off obeying him, like just obey him. There's a reason for it. And every time we obey him, even though it might be scary, we might not know what's going on, there's something really great on the other side of that for us. And there's, you know, so much fulfillment, satisfaction, and joy, and everything else on the other side of that obedience. So a little bit off topic, but hope that helps someone out there.
I'm sure there's somebody that needed to hear that. So thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah, it's my pleasure, Scott. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to the Inspired Stewardship Podcast. As a subscriber and listener, we challenge you to not just sit back and passively listen, but act on what you've heard and find a way to live your calling. If you enjoyed this episode, please, please do us a favor. Go over to inspiredstewardship.com/iTunes rate, all one word, iTunes rate. It'll take you through how to leave a rating and review and how to make sure you're subscribed to the podcast so that you can get every episode as it comes out in your feed. Until next time, invest your time, your talent, and your treasures. Develop your influence and impact the world.